to see the kind of industries that are opening up.
This is Local Biz Now with Joe Vagnone, where your business matters.
Local Biz Now. You have to determine what is working, what isn't working.
Joe Vagnone is a respected business broker, helping individuals buy and sell businesses. Joe has successfully owned and operated many companies in a variety of industries. This is Local Biz Now. Biz Now, because your business matters.
And we are live. You are listening to the number one talk business show in North Carolina. We are coming to you live from Burner Cigar Studio, home of the finest premium cigars and cigar smokers in the world. Great people, premium cigars, life is good at Burner Cigars, located in Burkdale Village. Go by there, tell them Joe sent you, and your first cigar is on me. We appreciate Burners being our sponsor, and thank you so much for being here listening to the show. We hope to inspire, inform, and entertain you every Monday afternoon, because that's what we do here at News Talk WSIC. This is Local Biz Now. I am Joe Vagnone, and every month we have to have a co-host, somebody to keep it together and have the brains of the outfit. This month, it is Danny Decker, founder of Marketing Simplified. He is the co-author and of a book called Automatic Marketing Machine. He is a dear friend of mine, whether he will admit it or not. Danny, my friend, thank you for being here, buddy. I appreciate it.
Joe, it's always good. It's been a great month. I can't believe it's the end of March already, but I have enjoyed it, and thank you for having me.
Is this the last show?
It's the last show.
We're going to go out with a bang today.
I know it.
I mean, I have introduced you. Last week, it was a legend in the speaking world. Now I'm introducing you to a legend of, I mean, a superior legend. You got lucky this month, man.
I really did.
So thank you, my friend, for being here. I really appreciate it. Remind everybody, what is Marketing Simplified?
Yeah, so at Marketing Simplified, I consult with small business owners, help them create their marketing strategy, right? Most business owners make the mistake of jumping straight to execution with tactics, right? And the key is you have to have a strategic game plan first. And so with Marketing Simplified, I help business owners make sense of the jargon, the technical terms, the options, right? Marketing is overwhelming these days. So many options, right? So I help people make a marketing plan. And then also, Joe, I'm also the founder of the Automatic Marketing Agency, which is where we actually, it's the execution wing of what I do, where we actually make, you know, run digital ads, landing pages, follow-up campaigns, all that good stuff to generate leads for small businesses.
So because everybody who's been listening to this show for years knows that everybody needs a Julie. My Julie has already put your book on the book, and she's also got your website up and running as well.
Julie's amazing. Thank you, Julie.
So what did you bring us today? Like, you know, you just can't be a co-host and show up. You got to do something. You got to bring something. You got to go to the Google. What you going to teach us today?
So, Joe, I'm going to flip the script a little bit today.
Boy.
Yeah, you're in for it. You're in for it, Joe. Listen, and in all sincerity, I, you know, we were talking before the show, you've been doing this for 11 years and what, 700 business owners interviewed at this point? And
852.
And Joe, like, seriously, in all sincerity, you know, that's 852 businesses that you brought to the spotlight and created just incredible exposure for them. And that's amazing. And one thing I've appreciated about my relationship with you the last few years is you're just selfless, right? You do this because you want to help people. And so I'm going to flip the script today, and I want to ask you some questions about your history and your business experience.
Let me get this straight. We have literally a local living legend here in the room, and you want to ask me questions?
That's right. So here we go.
Okay. It's going to be disappointing, but all right.
So here we go. Joe, what was the first business you owned?
Great question. So I'm going to tell you a quick story. I had a buddy of mine. We argued over what business we were going to start. We were in high school. I wanted to wash cars. He wanted to pick up junk.
And so I went and spent about $100 on some flyers and passed them out to the neighborhoods and ended up washing three cars at $10 each. It was about $30. My buddy put a $5 ad in the Carolina Nickel. That's a little paper that's a little classified back in the day. They don't even know what that is anymore now, right? And he received 27 phone calls, and we made enough money moving junk that we both were able to buy our first car.
Wow.
Literally moving. Oh, yeah, we made about $6,000 one summer just moving junk. So I really wasn't the brains behind a good smart move on it. So that was the very first business that I actually felt like, you know, we started and completed and had some success.
And how old were you?
17.
Okay, so this was in high school.
Yeah, this was in high school.
Yeah.
And I used $5,000 of that money that I had made to buy my very first house, my rental house, and my mom had to sign on the deed because I was too young to actually own property in North Carolina.
No kidding.
Got to be 18. Yeah.
Have entrepreneurs in your family, or was this just something that...
No.
Really?
No. I can't remember anybody in my family. It was all about getting a job, you know. Go to school, get a job, and work hard for the man. You know, my father was one of the hardest working men I've ever met. He literally defined work ethic. I mean, this sounds kind of sick when I tell it, but it's honestly gone true. He would work all day long. He'd come home, take off his socks, and smell them. If he didn't feel like he had a good hard day smell, he'd put them back on, go back out in the yard, and he'd work some more. I mean, we laugh, we still to this day about that. He wanted to feel like he contributed something every single day. And when you see that growing up, you just get used to it. When you get up in the morning, you do something. You know, there is something to do, which is why I work so well with what I do now, helping people buy and sell small businesses. Because the bottom line is, the new retirement is, when you get up in the morning, do what you want to do. Mm. Do something, but do what you want to do.
I like it. Okay. So next question, Joe, what was your favorite business that you've owned and operated?
One of my favorite business was closet manufacturing business. I loved starting with a $39, what we call it, sheet of melamine. It's a board that's laminated. And we could turn that sheet into a $3,900 closet. And what I really liked about it was the organization piece. I didn't know it, but I'm an organization freak. I like my shoes in a place. I like my shirts hung up right, you know. Same thing in the kitchen, same thing in the laundry room, same thing in the garage. I mean, I literally can tell you right now, go to section B, line 4 in my garage and get the hammer. I know exactly where everything is.
That's amazing.
My friends make fun of me about that. But that business taught me that organization is important. And it was a very profitable business, too. I really liked it a lot.
That's so cool. All right, so we have, looks like, a minute left, Joe. And you always talk about, you know, over the years, all these businesses you've had the opportunity to buy and sell, and you work with so many business owners. What would you tell somebody who is getting ready to start a business today?
Yeah, due diligence is really important. And do not get in a business that you do not know and understand, because sooner or later, you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and actually do the work. And I know that sounds simplistic, but so many people look at these Shark Tank, you know, TV shows, and they think everything, someone else is going to do the work for them. It's not going to happen that way. You're going to roll up your sleeves sooner or later and do the work.
Love it. All right. Thanks for letting me take over, Joe.
Okay. Now, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a real master. Absolutely. I cannot believe he's in the studio. Matter of fact, Julie is drooling right now, just so you know that. You are listening to Local Biz Now. If it's Monday afternoon, your business matters. We'll be right back. Yeah! Number one live talk business radio show in North Carolina. Coming to you live from Burner Cigar Studio, home of fine premium cigars, exceptional cigar smokers, great people, premium cigars. Life is good at Burner Cigars, located in Burkdale Village. Go on by there and tell them Joe sent you. We got these brand new, Wilton, can you get a good shot of this, Wilton? We got a bunch of these signs we're going to have in Burners. If you go by, hold the sign up, put it on Facebook, and your next cigar is on me. Thank you so much. Go buy a burner cigar in Burkdale. We really do appreciate it. You are listening to Local Biz Now. I am Joe Vagnone, and I am here with Wilton. Drum roll, please. It's not every day we got a legend inside the studio. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, there you go.
Meet
Fight
Matt
song.
Daugherty. Matt Daugherty is a nationally recognized motivational speaker, best-selling author, media personality. He guides corporations, C-suite managers, sales executives, business and sports coaches to develop their leadership skills and team dynamics. Matt, thank you, my friend, so much for being here. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, and I appreciate the fight song in the background, man. I heard that after about 117 victories. Yeah, thank you, Billy.
You know, Wilton was ready for you.
Yeah.
He was ready for you.
Yeah,
all right,
that's
Wilton.
Impressive.
I love making fun of Wilton, but I can't make fun of that.
No.
He set you up well with that.
He did. I feel indebted to him.
So Matt, let me just apologize. I did not ask you to be here for basketball.
Yeah, that's fine.
Matter of fact, I don't know that much about basketball. It wasn't until I seen your article in a local magazine where you were interviewing Jeff Shue,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked, and I could tell by your questions, you kind of got it, right? I could tell this guy is asking the right questions, right?
Thank you.
And it impressed me. The article impressed me. So I sent it to Julie, and I said, hey, can we get this guy on the radio? I want to talk to him about his leadership skills in business. And she said, what? What? Let me do some research. Let me make sure it's the same guy. And then she started sending me all who you are.
Oh,
so
okay.
I apologize. It wasn't until Julie told me that I knew who you were.
That's okay. I didn't know who you were until Julie put
that's
us
obvious.
In touch. That's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
That's right.
Yes.
So it is March Madness. It just happened that way, right?
Right.
This is not a sports show, so I don't want to get into the sports.
Yeah.
But I'd love to get your take on what basketball feels like to you from now this position of watching it.
Great question. Well, just to back up, I think business is a contact sport. And I say that often because the characteristics, the things you learn in sports, just think of most of the business books you read. They have some kind of sports reference. We got to huddle up. We got a team. We got to set goals. We've got to have a playbook. We got to come back. All those things are sports analogies. And when you get quotes from legends like, whether it be Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Nick Saban, a lot of business owners are looking to them for phrases, for motivational talks. I do keynote talks. And so it's very similar. When I became an executive coach, I had some people say, well, what do you know about business? And I say, well, let me ask you this. I have a wide range of experiences. I have direct reports. I have a daily P&L that the world sees. I have to answer to a board of directors. I have a multi-million dollar budget. I have to drive multi-million dollars in revenue. I have to recruit, train, and hold accountable talent. What part of that don't you get? That's running a business.
And you know, what I found interesting is the same thing with taking care of your mind. It's also taking care of your body. A skilled business person has to do the same thing mentally that a skilled athlete does. These things are all the same traits.
Well, you touched on the word skill, because leadership is a skill. It's got to be practiced. And that's why I call it the Daugherty Coaching Practice, because it has to be practiced. And I never got the practice thing when I used to go to a doctor and they'd say it's a medical practice. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Go practice on Danny. And when you get good enough, come to me. A lawyer.
I'm for that.
I have a legal practice. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't want you practicing on my business. I want you to be good enough to deliver. But leadership is a practice. It's a skill, just like golf. When you see you know, the Masters will be, it's around the corner, right? So all of a sudden, on Thursday, they go out and play. Well, the best players in the world go to the driving range after the round with their swing coaches to tweak their swing. Well, shouldn't a business leader do the same? Because you can read a book, you can go to a seminar, but are you practicing it on a regular basis? And that's what I do. I'm the executive coach that holds the business owner, business leader accountable and make sure their skills are sharp.
And you know, one of the other things good, skilled business coaches do is help analyze the situation, the circumstances in the moment. You know, sometimes I can't see the forest for the trees.
That's
you
right.
Know? And it really requires the trust between you and your client. Here's my situation. Here's what's happening. Now let's talk through that. Can you talk through that? Because that's a real healthy conversation with a C-suite executive.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's fulfilling work. You know, people say, do you miss coaching? I say, I am coaching. It's just not coaching basketball players. And I had a conversation with, you know, the thing you talked right there is trust. Know, like, and trust, right? It's in sales. You got to get to know somebody, you got to get to like somebody, and they got to trust somebody. So it's really important that I get to display my vulnerability. I've got to model the behavior I want. So I express my vulnerability, times I failed, times I've made mistakes. And then people lean into that. And then they share with me things they're struggling with. And then hopefully I can give them some direction or just dive deeper. A lot of times what I've found, Joe, is that when people are verbalizing the issues they're dealing with, when they hear it come out of their own mouth, they already have the answer.
Well, in my case, it's like, boy, that was stupid. Yeah, you're right. That's a bad idea.
Right. But sometimes if you don't verbalize it,
that's right.
And you keep it internalized, you think like, okay, I'm going to go do that.
My thought, the thought really isn't complete.
That's right.
Until you speak it.
Until you speak it. And so speak it in a peer, you know, Vistage. I'm an executive coach with Vistage. It's the country's probably oldest executive coaching organization. It's peer advisory. So I do one-on-one with my coaching clients, but we also come together as a group, 15 to 20 in a room. We have a speaker, a subject matter expert, great speakers, and then we process issues. And so somebody bring to the table, hey, I'm struggling. I'm thinking about expanding my business, or I'm thinking about firing my head of marketing and hiring this guy, Danny Decker.
Right.
Okay. And so we then put him, I call it the hot seat, and ask that person questions and then make suggestions. And then they now have a personal board of directors of 15 to 20 people that are giving them expert advice. They're in non-competing businesses, all right? I don't hire people in the same industry. So they can be vulnerable, share, and then get great feedback, and then we hold them accountable. By the next meeting, they've got to report out on what they accomplished.
So when people come to you, what's their main drive? What's their pain point?
Great question, Joe. Two things. Isolation relief. It's lonely at the top. Okay, you've worked, Danny's nodding his head. You worked, you know, and you're surrounded by people. And then,
Danny's just nodding his head because he's just in love with you right now. You understand that, don't you? He has nothing to do with it.
So, you know, you get to the top, but you could be surrounded by a team of your senior staff. You could be surrounded by 50 employees, but you're lonely.
Yep.
Because you're sitting in that chair and you're making decisions that are going to impact their lives.
Yep.
And you want to make the right decision. And when you're scared, you don't want to show them. So who do you talk to? Do you talk to your wife? Do you talk to your best friend? Some people can't relate to what you're doing.
In a business setting, those are weak conversations. I've learned over the years, you really do need a peer, somebody you absolutely will be genuine and tell you exactly what they think and talk through that stuff. Yeah.
As you said it, nobody else really gets it. Your employees don't get it in the same way. Your friends, most of them don't own businesses. No, nobody really gets what it's like to own a business unless you actually own a business.
Yeah. So it's
because the decisions actually cost time, energy, and money. Yours, right? So why would you not want to have a conversation with somebody about this?
Exactly. And so it's the
Exactly.
It's the ISO.
That's the thing, Matt. I can't help it. That's the thing we do here.
Good. Now I know why it's your last day on the show, Dan. The other thing is imposter syndrome. Everybody needs an encourager in their lives, okay? They need to be able to say, hey, Joe, no, you can do this. Because we all lose I played with Michael Jordan in college, okay? Michael Jordan, as a senior, was the preseason player of the year, as a junior, preseason player of the year in the country. The first two preseason tournaments we played in, I made first team all tournament, and he did not. He put so much pressure on himself.
You love saying that, don't you?
Heck yeah. Because he lost confidence. Michael Jordan lost confidence.
Right.
So Joe can lose confidence. Yeah. Danny could lose confidence. We need to be encouragers. I say this. Your life's impacted by three things. The people you meet, the books you read, and the trauma in your life. Okay? The first and two you control. The third's coming whether you like it or not. Right? So who are you surrounding yourself with? What are you reading? What are you consuming? But the person we spend the most time with is ourselves. And we can say some wicked bad stuff to ourselves.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. You are listening to Local Biz Now. If it's Monday afternoon, say it, Danny. Say it, say it.
Your business matters.
Yeah, we'll be right back. We're talking with Matt Darty.
You're the man, Matt. You're the man. We good on this direction? You like where we're headed with it?
Sure, yeah, of course.
We got to talk about your...
Yeah! Number one live talk business show in North Carolina. Coming to you from Burner Cigar Studio, home of the finest premium cigars, cigar smokers in the world. Great people, premium cigars. Life is good at Burner's Cigars, located in Brookdale Village. Go by there, tell them Joe sent you, and your first cigar is on me. Burners, thank you so much. We appreciate you being our sponsor. Today we are talking with Matt Darty. He is coach, speaker, author, 1992 national championship team with Michael Jordan. Countless coaching. Walk me through some of the teams you were coaching. Julie was trying to fill me
in.
Yeah,
I coached at Davidson College when Bob McKillop first got here. That's where Steph Curry played. And then I coached with Roy Williams at Kansas for 7 years. I became the head coach at Notre Dame. And then after a year, they had a coaching, Bill Guthridge retired at North Carolina, and everyone thought Roy Williams was going to take it, and Roy decided to stay at Kansas. So Dean Smith and Michael Jordan recruited me to come back home to Chapel Hill. My first year, we were number one
in
the country.
That's a really hard thing to replace, buddy.
Well, you know what? You know what's interesting? I was National Coach of the Year. We were number one in the country, won the ACC regular season championship. 2 years later, I was asked to resign. You know what?
Did it hurt or you like?
Oh, it still hurts. It still hurts. Okay. Yeah, it still hurts.
Because that's the nature of that.
Yeah,
job,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you don't get fired, like I remember a coach telling me one time, "Congratulations, you're officially a coach. You've been fired." And so, but here's the carryover. I deal with family-run businesses all the time.
Yep.
So Dean Smith was the legendary head coach there. He handed it off to, like, his brother, Bill Guthridge, and they were going to hand it off to their younger brother, Roy Williams. He turned it down, so they went to one of their sons and Matt Darty.
Yep.
And so, and Bill Guthridge and Dean Smith were in the building. In a building named Dean E. Smith Center.
That's hard, man.
So you get in his business, right? Because you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine like.
I mean, that's like the owner still in the building.
That's right.
It's really hard.
It's very hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize that at the time.
Well, it wouldn't have mattered because you wanted to try. You wanted to do it anyway.
So when I now have succession planning with clients, and I'm like, okay, when are you going to give it to your son?
Yeah.
And then when you give it to your son, what are you going to do? You going to get the hell out of the office, or are you going to stick around?
And we talk about stuff like that.
Heck yeah.
The transition and how the transition happened really matters. And in your case, you didn't even know to have that conversation.
Didn't know to have the conversation. And so now I have the conversation with my clients because I get succession planning.
Right. Got it. And did you want to ask a question?
Yeah. Well, let me ask this one first, actually, Matt. So you obviously have had the opportunity to play with and coach some top athletes of all time, and you now have the opportunity to coach business owners, executives. And so what are some of the commonalities
Yeah.
You know, if any, between top athletes and top business owners.
Yeah, great question. I tell you, I like to read. And one of the books that I enjoyed was Jack Welch's Straight from the Gut. And he talks about the four E's that he looks for employees. And it's the do you bring energy to the workplace? Do you energize others? Can you execute with an edge? And when he said that, the first person I thought of was Michael Jordan. Because Michael would bring great energy to practice, would energize others, could execute, and certainly had an edge. And I think that the best business people that I'm around do those things. And I will add to that, that you have to have a discipline, you know, discipline to get up. You're an entrepreneur. No one's telling you get out of bed. What's your discipline like? Are you making good decisions?
Well, you haven't met his wife.
Yeah,
that's true. She kicks me out of the house every morning.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, we all, you know, whatever it takes to get out of bed.
Yes.
And then demeanor, I think, is huge. What is your demeanor like? Because I'm Irish Catholic from New York. I'm intense, but you can be too intense. Okay. So when you're when crap's hitting the wall. Hitting the fan, what are you doing? How are you reacting to it? Is it a demeanor of optimism? Is it a demeanor of Nelson Mandela says, I never lose, I either win or I learn? Are you like that? Or are you like panicked, where then everyone else is in a frenzy around you? So that demeanor, you know, went calm. Like Michael Jordan in the biggest games was calm. Joe Montana, we were talking football earlier. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. In the huddle, in a Super Bowl, they're on that drive where Dwight Clark catches the catch. And he's in the huddle. He looks to the stands and he says to the team, hey, that's John Candy over there.
So can you learn that? Or it's is a learned that just behavior. Something you are born with?
Leadership is a learned behavior. It is a leadership's a practice. You can practice it. Oh, yes. Okay. Some people are born on third base, though.
Okay, Matt, the ultra successful people that I meet, they have a drive that is like no other. They are not pleased with yesterday, right? You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter if yesterday's at the top of the hill.
Right.
They're just looking for another hill, right? So where do you put that in this drive that I see? I didn't hear you talk about that.
Well, you know, to me, if you have drive, you have the energy the ability to energize others. So, you know, I think as a result of drive, you bring energy and passion to the workplace. But that's certainly part of it because
But when I say drive, I mean, are you acknowledging that you see that in people?
Yeah. You got to have drive. I mean, that if you don't have drive, you're not going to have the energy, right?
Got it.
And so that kind of is the motor behind the energy that you bring. You hit the gas pedal and the energy, you know, moves the car down the road. That drive, where does that come from? I think that...
It does seem to be these ultra-successful people. That is, to me anyways, it seems to be the defining difference between average business, you know what I mean,
yeah,
and exceptional business.
I think it's certainly maybe the foundational factor because, you know, we've been around people who don't care as much. I call it a care factor. I used it when I scouted opponents. What is your care factor? How much do you care? How much pride do you have, not only in your company, but in yourself? Do you have pride that you're going to show up every day and bring your best? And when I think of that, I continue to think about Michael Jordan, because every day in practice, he brought his best and he would challenge other people. He had a drive to be the best. And
did that motivate you and the rest of the team?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Coach Smith brought competitive people.
Okay.
Okay, and I don't know how much time we have left on this show, but you've got to, it starts with your vision, your mission for your organization, okay? So Coach Smith at North Carolina had a vision of being the best basketball program in the country. His mission was to win a national championship each year. So to do that, you had to recruit talent. Now, you had to have core values. He had core values of play hard, play smart, play together. And then you have to have behaviors sprouting out of those core values. Play hard. What does that look like? Okay. Play hard, play smart. What does playing smart look like? What does playing together look like? He defined that. And then in the home visit, he challenged you.
Did you know that before you went to go there to work with him?
He challenged you in the home visit that he would say, he said to me, I was a McDonald's All-American. I was recruited by Duke, Virginia, Notre Dame. He said that I'd be lucky to play by the time I'm a junior. Mm-hmm. And so I leaned forward and I said to myself, I'll show you. Mm-hmm. And I think that my point is he expressed how his vision for the organization, the core values, and challenged me that nothing's going to be given to me. So I could do one of two things. I could choose not to go there, or I could lean into that. And so by leaning into that, he is recruiting competitive people. Because if you're afraid of that, you're not going to Carolina.
And he didn't want you anyway.
That's right. He'd rather play against you. So you go back to Michael Jordan in the locker room. He would point to someone in the locker room. He'd say, I'm going to get you today. And what does that mean? It means I'm going to dunk on you today. So practice when we're lacing up in the locker room, no one wanted to make eye contact with him. So if you didn't bring your best each and every day to practice, Michael was going to make you look silly. It just forced you to play at the highest level you could play at.
Did that frustrate you at the time, or did you really appreciate that?
Oh, heck no, it didn't frustrate me. Frustrated me when he dunked on me and everybody, my teammates were laughing.
Right.
Yeah, but no, man. Michael was a great teammate because all he wanted to do was win. And if you brought the same competitiveness and toughness that he brought, he respected you.
Right. So when we're talking about businessmen, that same thing happens, right? Competitive nature is just in us, and we absolutely use that to fuel the drive, that's the energy that we're talking about.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure it's focused in the right direction.
Well, and I think that's why it's important when I talk to companies. I endorse EOS, which is the Entrepreneur's Operating System, and they have scorecards, weekly scorecards. And you know, in basketball, you have a scorecard, all right? And we can talk more about it on the other side.
Let's do that. He's a real professional,
isn't he? He is a professional.
You are listening to Local Biz Now. I'm talking to Matt Daugherty. Yes, it is. Coach, speaker, author, legend. If it's Monday afternoon,
your business matters.
Yeah.
Local Biz Now with Joe Bagnone continues now on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Yeah. Number one live business radio show in North Carolina, coming to you from Burner Cigar Studio, home of the finest premium cigars and cigar smokers in the world. Great people. Premium cigars, life is good at Burners, located in Burkdale Village. Go on by there. It's the same parking lot as Dick's Sporting Goods. Tell them Joe sent you, and the first cigar is on me. We are talking with Matt Daugherty. He is coach, speaker, author, the local legend. And somehow we got him sitting in here, Danny. How did we do that?
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm just happy to be here. But also, Matt, I think, Joe, maybe we get to break some news on the show here. We were talking in the break. You've got kind of a big new project coming up soon, right?
Yes. Thank you, Danny. I am going to be launching a show called The Rebound on The First. Now, The First is a streaming TV show that is also hosts Megyn Kelly, Bill O'Reilly. It's Sean Spicer, some pretty good talent. So I'm honored and humbled to be a part of that. It'll be on at least three times a week, starting on Saturday, the 13th of April.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the show.
Yeah. Well, basically it's based off my book called The Rebound. I wrote a book called Rebound from Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. And it's based on me losing my job at North Carolina in 2003. And how do you rebound from that? And realizing that everyone has a rebound. All right. You have a rebound. You have a rebound, Joe. So I try to bring out some celebrities, business and sports, to talk about their rebound and how that propelled them to greatness. Because it's almost like failure is a prerequisite for success. Mm. So I already have James Worthy, you know, interviewed. Harris Barton, who is an offensive lineman for the 49ers of Joe Montana, won three Super Bowls. Nancy Lieberman, who is a great player in college and the WNBA. I have Steve Phelps, who is the president of NASCAR. Eric Moses, the CEO of the Fiesta Bowl. So we have a lot of good talent already in the can, and that'll be launching April 13th. And they go through their failures and how they rebounded from them. And it really is cool because not many people hear these stories.
That's right.
And so
most of us don't really want to talk about it.
Don't want to talk about it. But I talk about my failures. That's right. And it gets them to lean in and share. And you go, oh my gosh, like you went through that. You went through that. Everyone, you know, grown men talking about times they lost it all, lost their money, lost their, you know, crying in front of their families. And then to realize that that was kind of the springboard, the bottom for them. And who stepped up and helped them through that? And a lot of times, John F. Kennedy would say, victory has many fathers, failure is an orphan, right? And we've all felt that. So when you fail, who's there to help you up? Pretty powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how do people subscribe or tune in?
Yeah, tune in. They can go to my website, Doherty Coaching.com. Thank you for asking, Danny, and get more information. But the first is an app that you can get, and it's also a on DirecTV and Pluto TV, the first. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
So tell me a little bit more about the book. The inspiration for writing the book was what?
Well, the inspiration, I think, was that I've been, I think someone said, true happiness is when you find your purpose in this world, right? Mine is to teach and coach. And so even though I wasn't coaching, I got let go at North Carolina, I still want to teach and coach. And that's why I'm an executive coach. But that book, I wanted to help people avoid the landmines I stepped on. Because I stepped on big landmines and got blown up. And so how?
Yeah, but that's because you got big dreams and big ambition. And I mean, it's all relevant.
So, but it also, what happened was it was therapeutic. It was therapeutic for me to tell my story and get it out because it was a public story. And to get out my version and to share my insights and my struggles, it's like going to confession. And
that is what makes your challenges different than mine. Mine aren't public,
yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody has to know the mistake I just made yesterday, right? In your case, it's out there.
Oh, yeah, and it's there for a long time. So, you know, people still have opinions if I was a good coach or a bad coach, or a good guy or a bad guy. And my family had to deal with that. You know, like it's one thing that me as a man dealing with it, where right. I say we're like driving a speedboat and there's a wake. And you have the group in your boat, and it's family members, friends, coworkers, and you're going a little fast, and you hit some choppy water, and all of a sudden, some people are falling out and drowning. Well, my wife, my kids were in the water, and I had to circle back and get them. And so, it's hard. It's hard on the family, you know, and because people have opinions, and they voice them generally to other people, not to you.
Who did you use during that time period to get through all that?
Great question. Personal board of directors. I talk about this all the time. And that can change. You know, my personal board of directors before was Dean Smith, Roy Williams, because that's who I went to every time I was looking at a coaching job. Well, now I get run out right. from North Carolina. Right. So I'm like, okay. I felt like I was falling off the Empire State Building without a safety net. But one of my closest confidants, besides my wife, was John Black. John Black was my financial advisor, good friend in Charlotte, and he was the first person I probably talked to. And
he felt comfortable explaining.
And he came to my side. He was in Nashville. He got on a plane and flew to Charlotte, picked up Steve Lukwire, who is a popular man in marketing in Charlotte, owns the firm Lukwire. And he and Steve... John and Steve came to my house the next day and kind of we game planned on what the next steps were.
Right. Well, just so you know, Julie has put your ex on Facebook. She's also put how to get your book.
My ex? I've only been married once, Julie. Sorry. She got
the ex on there for you.
I know. That was a joke, Joe.
That was a bad joke.
That was a good joke. Good
that
dad
was a
joke.
Bad joke. I didn't see Danny laughing.
That's true. That's fair. But
you gave the token laugh like it's a golf clap. Yeah.
So what advice do you want to give somebody thinking about stepping into this leadership role? You know, I have heard for years, I don't know this because I've been self-employed since I'm 17, but that this middle management level is the hardest place to be. Do you advise them to get to the next level? Is that something you can help them with?
No.
What advice
would
you give them?
You know
them?
What happens? You don't want to get promoted to the level of your incompetence, right? And if you're comfortable, we all need role players. Right? I was a role player in college. In high school, I was a star player. I got to Carolina, I was a role player.
And you knew that quickly, right?
I knew that. Yeah, well, when Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Sam Perkins, Kenny Smith, and Brad Daugherty, your teammates, you know, and Coach Smith let you know where you stand.
Did he really?
Oh gosh, one day I took an open 15-footer in practice. And I was, again, a high school All-American.
Right.
And he blew the whistle. And he goes, he never cursed. He had this nasally voice. He said, yeah, who on Matthew's team? And he always called you by your full first name, like Joseph, right?
Right.
You knew
right.
You were in trouble.
That's right.
So who on Matthew's team thought that was a good shot? Raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. So that was Coach Smith's way of telling me, don't shoot the darn basketball. one day he told me, you know, you could be the best screener in the country. And I'm like, oh, Coach, you're manipulating me. But I get it. So that Friday night, I went to a party downtown, Franklin Street. And I went up to the prettiest girl in the bar. And I said, you know, I'm the best screener in the country. And Michael walked in behind me. She looked over my shoulder and walked right towards him. Yeah, but that's leadership, too, is putting. You don't have to lead.
Right.
Like my son. Like, I think you need to. The biggest key in leadership in life is self-awareness. Self-awareness. Understand who you are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. Trust your gut. Be you. Don't try to be someone else. And so if you know—
Be you is such a great statement.
You know, because, yeah— sometimes people take a promotion because they feel like they have to, but they know in their gut that that's not a good fit for them. And sometimes bosses, I see this all the time, an entrepreneur will promote somebody. And I'll say, why'd you promote that person? Because they'll complain about the person. I say, well, why'd you promote him? Well, because the person in front of him retired or quit or took another job. So, well, it's your fault that they're struggling because you promoted them to the level of incompetence. Did you train them? Did you give them an assessment that showed that they could be successful in this role? It'd be like putting Tom Brady at tight end or Gronkowski at quarterback. That's not a wise decision.
Right.
So just because a spot's available, just because someone's saying you should go for that job, I think some of the best leaders, some of the smartest people are the ones who say no to opportunities because they know it's not a good
fit.
And
that's not easy to do.
Heck no. Because ego and pride get in the way.
No, I would never be known to do those things. No. Why are you looking at me like that, Danny?
Hey, I'm not going to say anything, Joe.
We are talking with Matt Daugherty, coach, speaker, author. My friend, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you being here.
Hey, my pleasure. Nice to get to know you both.
So now that I know you, We're gonna call you back again.
Okay.
And
make sure you have a New World AJ Fernandez for me from Berners.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay.
I might even have one in the box there right now to surprise you as you're getting ready to leave. You are listening to Local Biz Now. I am Joe Vagnone, and we just got done talking with the local legend, Matt Daugherty, coach, speaker, Arthur. He is the 1992 National Championship team winner with Michael Jordan and also all manner of coaching skills, and that is for business and life. If it's Monday afternoon, say it, Danny.
Your business matters.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.